Welcome back, everyone, to the Robert Grunwald Podcast, Interviewing Entrepreneurs. Today, I want to introduce you to Shiloh Bates, the Chief Investment Officer of the Flat Rock Opportunity Fund. The Flat Rock Opportunity Fund is a very interesting fund investing in a very unique asset class, collateralized loan obligation equity, or CLO equity. Shiloh Bates is the CIO, oversees this fund, and he comes from a very interesting background, having studied at the Kennedy School at Harvard and originally anticipating a career in government. He then shifted, getting master's degrees in statistics and mathematics from Columbia and the University of Chicago. Today, Shiloh is one of the country's leading experts on CLO equity. I hope you'll enjoy this show. Great, thank you. And thank you everyone for joining us for our quarterly review of the performance at the Flat Rock Opportunity Fund. Just as a reminder, the Flat Rock Opportunity Fund is an interval fund. As an interval fund, we are available on all the custody platforms today, both Schwab, TD Ameritrade, Fidelity, and if there are others that you need to access, let us know. We are confident we can get quick and easy access to those platforms. Also, as a reminder, Flat Rock Global is an affiliate of Western Asset. Western Asset is a 20% owner of our advisor. A senior member of the Western Asset team sits on our board of directors, and we coordinate with Western Asset in many different aspects of our firm. As an interval fund, just a reminder that our fee structure is 1 3/8 and a 15% carry. Shiloh will speak in a couple of minutes about just how unique that fee structure is in the CLO equity marketplace. And again, as an interval fund, you can buy us very simply through those custody platforms using the ticker FROPX. And of course, if you just want to track our performance over time, that's easy enough to do as well through that ticker FROPX. Yeah, I just wanted to make one other comment before I introduce Shiloh Bates, our CIO. When we launched this fund in July last year, we were obviously excited about the opportunity to provide investors with a chance to access CLO equity as an asset class. It's an asset class that we think is very unique, but it's $600 billion in size, an asset class that generates very attractive returns for investors through cycles. What, quite frankly, we weren't as sure of is, as a boutique fund, exactly how would we source transactions? And what would be our competitive position in sourcing those deals as a boutique fund? And as Shiloh is about to describe to you, we now have a diversified portfolio of investments. And those investments are not only performing very well, but are really have been very uniquely sourced as a result of Shiloh's tremendous abilities to position us uniquely in the marketplace. So with that, why don't I turn it over to you, Shiloh, to talk about our performance for the quarter and since inception.
Great. Thanks, Bob. Again, the fund was launched in July of last year, and inception to date returns were a little bit short of 8%, which is comparable to the S&P 500, and it outperforms the S&P BDC index. But you'll notice if you look at the returns for the fourth quarter of last year, when we saw a lot of volatility across markets, our fund was only down 4.6% versus the S&P 500 at 13.5 and the BDC index at 12.9. So the result of that is, you know, a sharp ratio that really has outperformed these indices. By way of background, the best way to think about a CLO is very similar to a bank, where the assets are first lien, senior secured loans, they're floating rate, and you have a very diversified portfolio. So in a typical CLO, the largest position might be 1.5% or 1% of AUM. And then the financing for these loans is done through the bond market. So The CLO issues securities rated AAA through BB, and we focus on the equity tranche, which is about 10% of the CLO. We went through some recent trustee reports to give you a sense for, you know, the kinds of loans that you'll find in a typical CLO. And again, these are large U.S. companies loans. And these loans are basically secured by all the company's assets. So cash, accounts receivable, inventory, property and plant, trademarks, were secured by all the assets of these kinds of companies. And the result of that is that over time, the recovery rates on these first lien loans have been quite high. So 80% for first lien loans compares very favorably to unsecured bonds at 48% or second liens at only 24.6%. So as Bob mentioned, the CLO market today is $600 billion in AUM, and CLOs are the predominant buyer of bank loans today. So banks have really exited the market, and new loans are really bought by CLOs and loan mutual funds. Here I put in the LSTA index. So this measures the price of the underlying loans in the index. And usually this is, you know, right around 99. So new issue loans come at a price of around 99. And for the most part, you expect them to sort of trade around that level. And what we saw at the end of Q4 and even continuing to a lesser extent today, is a sell-off in loan prices. And for CLO investors like us in the equity tranche, that can be quite favorable for return. So how it works is that in a typical year, one-third of the loans in the CLO will prepay at par, and the collateral manager will then go out and buy new issued loans at discounted prices. And given the leverage in the CLO, given the fact that our debt costs are locked in for the entire life of the CLO, which could be seven or 8 years, that should be very accretive. And so what we're seeing is, as months go by, the weighted average spread in all of our CLOs has been increasing, and that's led to more profitability and cash flows from our deals. So again, this volatility in leverage loans quite favorable for our CLOs. So I think the biggest selling point for CLO equity is the performance even through the financial downturn. So an investor in a 2006 vintage CLO on a buy and hold basis made a 16.5% return. For 2007, even better. And what's happening there, and this, you know, is very surprising to a lot of people, but, you know, coming into the financial downturn, an investor would in CLO equity would have seen defaults and losses that would have exceeded his initial expectations. But at the same time, the entire loan market was much cheaper. And when loans prepaid at par, the collateral manager was able to buy discounted loans at attractive prices, and that served as an offset for some of the losses that were taken on defaults. And when you sort of net those two things together, the result was favorable for investors. And so, you know, these returns, I think, is one of the reasons that today the asset class has grown to be $600 billion in AUM. So on the previous slide, we talked about CLOs that began their life pre-financial downturn and were terminated. For CLOs that began their life after the financial downturn, they're still active and producing cash flows for investors. So there's not a concept of a terminated IRR for this vintage, but we do we can see the cash flows to date. So if you've invested in a 2012 CLO equity tranche, thus far you would have gotten back 111% of what you invested, and the CLO would be continuing to pay you dividends. And when the CLO is liquidated, there'd be a very large payment, which would be the return of principal / NAV at the end. So even a 2018 vintage CLO, recently began its life, already returned 20% of the cost of the equity. Another way to think about returns is just, what's the possibility that we lose money on any individual CLO? And I think, the answer to that is very low. So 4% of CLOs issued from 2002 to 2011 had negative returns. Those returns would have been mildly negative, minus 5% or minus 10%. And usually, if you really look into it, you find something about the CLO that's, different or unique, non-vanilla, and that, if we, the structures we're investing in today wouldn't even have had those characteristics. And the reason that it's so hard to get a negative return in CLO equity, and this ties to the previous slide, it's just that the cash flow from the equity is very high, and it comes and it begins, literally 4 to 5 months after the CLO forms. So in a typical year, right out of the gate, we have a 16 or 17% cash on cash return. The second year looks pretty similar, and that compounds over time and makes a negative IRR very high. Would be very hard to hit that. So the CLOs have what we call a self-healing mechanism. And, I've talked a little bit about how this works. But again, in periods of financial distress, you do see a pickup in defaults. But at the same time, you are going to see an increase in the yield on the underlying loan. So here, what we show is that credit losses increase from 60 basis points per year, which is the historical loss rate for the space. They double to 120 basis points. But at the same time, the yield on the loans increases by 50 basis points. And so that takes a projected return of 14%, which is our base case return on average, and it reduces it to a 10.2% return. So still double digits, but lower in a time of financial distress. I should also mention here that when we talk about projected CLO equity returns, we always bake in a reserve for potential losses. And so in a CLO, you're going to have 200 plus loans in there. No matter how good your manager is, there's going to be some defaults. And, historically, the loss rate's been about 60 basis points. And so we plug that into our models, and we still get to a 14% return. Now, the kind of CLO managers that we backed, we expect them to outperform that 60 bips. We model these things quite conservatively, especially at the beginning of its life. One of the things that people like about CLO equity and why they want to include it in portfolios is that it has very low correlation to other asset classes. So here we show the correlation to the S&P 500, 0.13, REITs, 0.13, high yield, investment grade, also very low. So we have a unique strategy in CLO equity investing, and basically what we try to do is lever the relationships that we've built over the last 10 years investing in the space. So I was the head of structured products at the Business Development Corporation of America. I invested with Bob in a portfolio that was over $1 billion of CLO equity investments across around 50 deals. So during that period of time, we were one of the biggest and most active investors in the space, and we outperformed the Wells Fargo index by 100 basis points. And so through that, I have very good both professional and personal relationships with people who run the investment banks that sell CLO equity. And so what I do is I try to lever those relationships into seeing the best deals at the best prices. So there are about 120 guys who issue CLO managers today who are issuing deals. There's probably a quarter of them that we, you know, like to do business with. And then within that quarter, I try to buy CLO equity as cheaply as possible. So in a typical day, you know, an investment bank might show me a new transaction and say, okay, we want you to buy this new Carlyle deal, and you know, the price, we think 90 is a good price. And I'll do some work on my end. We do a lot of financial modeling and analysis. And I might conclude that actually it's, you know, it's worth 90. But, you know, we're going to backbid them, and we're going to say, okay, yeah, we're interested at 86 or 87. And usually the investment bank, the seller, will tell us to pound sand, but that's fine. We're a small fund, and we can be opportunistic. But what we find is that at least two opportunities per month sort of fall through the cracks, and we're able to transact at our discounted levels. So let me give you a few case studies of how we did this. One of our investments is a CLO managed by Eaton Vance. They're one of the biggest managers of leveraged loans, but they have a smaller CLO management practice. And so we looked at a new deal for them last year. We were offered equity at a price of 89. You know, we did a bunch of work and said, okay, we're at 86. And then we didn't hear from the investment bank for 2 weeks or so. And then right before the CLO formation, they called us up and said, hey, listen, Eaton Vance is trying to build out their CLO franchise. They know that to do that, they need to sell equity to experienced guys like yourselves, and they're willing to take the 3-point hit so that they can transact with you on this deal. And they'd really like it if, you know, we can do some business together in the future. So for Eaton Vance, you know, selling $3 million of equity at this lower price wasn't material to them. I mean, Eaton Vance is a huge firm. For us, 3 points is quite material, so that adds 100 basis points to projected returns. And this deal, we expect to net a IRR of 14%. Another sort of unique sourcing opportunity came on a TCP Whitney CLO. So this is managed by Tenenbaum, which is now part of BlackRock. And this one we actually bought in the secondary market. So there was a seller that contacted the investment bank that underwrote the deal initially. And that's an investment bank where, you know, one of my close personal friends runs the group. So we get, you know, we get the first call on that. And our firm was really uniquely positioned to analyze that deal because it was a middle market CLO. It was a different collateral pool than the broadly syndicated CLOs that we otherwise own. And, you know, with Bob and the team here, we were able to sort of go through and sort the underlying loans. Some of them we were familiar with. We had done a CLO with Tenenbaum, again, at my previous shop that performed very well. So we were able to get Tenenbaum on the phone and talk about some of the specifics of the deal and the credits. and basically learned that they had had every loan appraised by a third party, and that, you know, even though the CLO had begun its life 2 years ago, every loan, you know, was performing as expected. So we got the first look on that. We sort of priced it up at a level where we thought the seller would transact, but not so low that they would show it to someone else. So, you know, this is an investment that we're really excited about, with a 17.2% projected IRR. And then we also occasionally invest in CLO warehouses. So this is a little bit different of a trade, but the CLO warehouse is used to accumulate loans before the formation of a CLO. And so this trade might exist for 5 to 6 months. There's no management fees in the CLO. There's no underwriter fees, and the cost of debt's very attractive. And so the net result of that is an IRR that's 17.4% for this deal. And we were able to get a look on this because we did several deals with MidOcean, again, at our previous shop. And so we came in to this warehouse literally as like a friend and family type investor. We invested alongside the principals of MidOcean and another large CLO equity investor. But this is sort of a unique transaction, and one that will likely go away in the next 2 months as the CLO forms, but the return should be quite high. So the portfolio that we put together has, we've raised $30 million of equity. Our investments, many of which I just described, have a effective yield of 15.2%. The broadly syndicated CLOs that we bought, we estimate that we've purchased those 3 to 4 points below where larger guys in the same deal bought their equity. And as a result of the 15.2% effective yield, the dividend is the 10% dividend that the fund pays is overcovered. One thing that people frequently ask me about is competitors. So there are two competitors that I think about a lot. So one is Eagle Point, ticker ECC. Another is Oxford Lane. Now these are closed end funds, so they work a little bit different from an interval fund. But you know, their fees are much higher. So we're charging a 1 3/8 management fee. That compares to 1 3/4 for Eagle Point and 2% for Oxford Lane. Our incentive carry is 25% less than theirs. And what that nets to, like if you look in their public filings, is that basically we're about half of the total sort of operating expenses is where the Flat Rock Opportunity Fund is. And an investor in our fund purchases shares at NAV. So just like a mutual fund, you can come in any day at a NAV that's calculated by a third party. And Eagle Point and Oxford Lane trade at substantial premiums to book. And so, you know, one of my hopes is that over time we can grow the opportunity fund to 200 to 300 million, list it as a closed end fund, and then enable our investors to capture that difference. You know, here it's a little bit over 20%, but again, with our lower fee structure, I think it could be even higher than that. And then with that, we have our bios in the book, but we'd like to open it up to any questions that you might have.
Schaller, we appreciate the insightful comments. As we queue up the questions, let me just start by asking you, you know, with $30 million of assets under management right now, we just got on Schwab. There's $50 million worth of indications of interest that will flow in over time. to use your quote, pound sand strategy. Comment on the ability to deploy that future capital using the strategy that you just described, where you're getting, 4 points cheap to the market investments.
Sure. Great question. So, in terms of things, investments that we've made recently, for example, so we're fully invested today, and the last investment we made was in a warehouse for ICG, Intermediate Capital Group. And that's a $4.5 million investment. Well, actually, if you think about what was offered to us in that deal, we could have bought up to $10 million. So that was what was available. And if we raise, as we raise additional capital in the fund, one opportunity on that specific deal is to just upsize, to go to from $4.5 million to $6.5 million or whatever it is. That's literally, an investment that we could make in a couple of days with new equity that's come in. Also, the investment in the Tenenbaum CLO, which is my favorite investment thus far. Again, we have a big position in that CLO as you see here in our schedule of investments. But there was another $3 or $4 million that we left with the seller because we just didn't have the capacity. So the reality is the CLO equity market in particular is $60 billion of assets. It's active in the primary, in the secondary. We're looking at warehouses. We're looking at middle market CLOs and broadly syndicated CLOs. And as a result, we're seeing lots of good deal flow.
And let me just ask one other question. I mean, it was interesting to see recently in Eagle Point's recent filings that a very large portion of their dividend is actually paid through a return on capital. If we look at the portfolio of investments, you're seeing some pretty attractive yields, and yet we're paying a 10% dividend. Can you comment on what that could mean for Flat Rock Opportunity without making any promises, of course?
Yeah, sure. So if you look at competitors, they do the funds that we have here, both Eagle Point and Oxford Lane. They do have a higher stated dividend. That's true. The dividend is not covered by net investment income. So a lot of that dividend is return of principal. And the other thing to consider is that those funds are levered. So they're using that return of principal and the leverage to pay a higher cash dividend. But for us, our dividend is earned by net investment income.
Okay, well, thank you, Bob and Shiloh. Guys, as a reminder, we're now going to enter into a question and answer session, so we'll pause for just a brief moment to allow some questions to flow in. Okay, so it looks like we have a few questions in queue. The first one is, Shiloh, are you seeing any trends in the liability costs for CLOs?
Sure. So we are seeing when I think about the liability costs for CLOs, the AAA rated tranche is basically, two-thirds of the CLO. So the deals that we did last year had a cost of around a AAA cost, a financing cost of around LIBOR plus 110 basis points. And today, with the volatility in the loan market that I showed you, those rates are more like 130 basis points. Well, that 20 bips doesn't sound like a lot, but actually when it ripples through the leverage of the CLO, it's quite material for return. So the cost of debt is higher today, and as a result, the more interesting opportunities we've been seeing have been in the secondary, like the Tenenbaum CLO that we bought, Or it's in warehouses where you have, you know, a cost of debt that's really unchanged over the last year, and those are like shorter term trades. So the other sort of interesting thing is that you can buy CLO equity issued last year with very favorable debt costs, and you don't have to pay up for it in the secondary. So that, again, I think there's some like interesting trades there. And like one of my jobs besides looking for CLO equity in the primary is to always look at, you know, offerings from dealers, looking at where things trade in the secondary, and you know, track those trades and sort of hunt around for value there as well.
Okay, so it looks like we have one other question here. Can you talk about the competitive dynamics for CLO equity right now?
Sure. So with the higher debt cost of today's CLOs, you know, we're still seeing a lot of CLOs issued. So issuance year to date is around $55 billion. So that's consistent roughly with last year. But it's a different kind of issuance. So the kinds of people who are buying CLO equity in the primary today, again with these higher debt costs, are guys who have, you know, partnered with some of the larger CLO managers. So somebody might go to a Carlyle or an Apollo and say, okay, here's $100 million, I want to be in your next, you know, four deals. And you know, that's the kind of money that we think is, you know, behind the today's issuance. And we think investors generally can do much, much, much better by backing guys who are looking at, you know, who aren't tied to like working with one CLO manager. So, you know, in the portfolio, you'll see in our schedule of investments, we have deals from Ares and Neuberger and Eaton Vance. And I'm constantly looking at different deals from different managers, and we think that's the, you know, the best strategy for optimizing returns.
Okay, so it looks like we have a couple other questions that just came in. So at your current size, are you limited in your ability to participate in certain deals or not, or shown potentially attractive deals? Also, is Western committed to adding capital once the fund reaches a certain AUM?
Yeah, so I think that our size is not an impediment at all in terms of sourcing deals. So at BDCA, again, where we invested over $1 billion in the asset class, we were a majority investor. So we would take down, you know, 2/3 to 3/4 of the equity tranche. We would negotiate the documents. We would, you know, hire an investment bank to sell the CLO, and you know, really sort of enjoyed the process of bringing the CLO together. But what we found being a minority investor, a smaller guy, is that we're very nimble. So, you know, we're not sort of like negotiating, you know, bringing the CLO to life. We're seeing a deal that's, you know, formed or is close to forming, and, you know, we understand all the terms, and we just price everything out, you know, for the risks in the deal. And you know, I think that's the way to get better risk adjusted returns. And that's what, you know, again, the metric that I sort of think about is like, where have you purchased equity versus the larger guys in your deal, and that's like 3 to 4 points on average cheaper. So, you know, I think the game in CLO equity, a lot of these structures are vanilla. A lot of the top CLO managers are doing, you know, have similar investment processes, and so cheap is you know, something that I like very much.
And let me just chime in here with regard to Western Asset. Obviously, they are a great partner. But they don't invest in their own funds other than minor seeding, and we do not anticipate them investing directly in this fund as well. But on the other hand, we coordinate very closely with their institutional sales team, and as the fund does gain scale, we believe that we'll increasingly see institutional investors participating. We're excited to have our first institutional investor make an initial investment of $5 million in this past quarter, and we anticipate that to continue to grow as the fund grows. So with that, we want to thank everyone for participating. Thank you, Shiloh, for the update. And as always, feel free to reach out to us directly if at any point you have any questions. Thank you.
Thanks again.